This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crowe. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
Hello, loves. Allison Crowe here, your favorite life coach. And I'm back. Do I say that every single time? I've just decided to give myself permission to create with my own natural cycles and ebbs and flows. And I'm sure there's a time or two when I really just am not as productive as I could be. And you know what? I'm going to be okay with that. I heard a phrase last week when listening to the Profit First podcast called ELF, a business, running a business, an ELF business, something that is easy, lucrative, and fun. And I realized the only thing that ever makes my work hard is when I talk crappy to myself. So here I am today. This is episode number 21. And today's episode is something I've been thinking and wanting to share with you and teach about for quite a while. I'm actually still developing some of the thoughts, but we're going to talk about how you give away and leak your power, aka outsourcing. So typically outsourcing in a business might be getting leverage and having somebody else do the work for you. Think about having somebody else do the work for you. Okay, this works as far as a business hiring admin and staff. But where this does not work is in your mindset, your life, your inner work, and in the creation of your life. This morning, my friend Kay Blonde is a big fan of The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. And so I finally jumped in and bought this book. I know about his savers, which are some of the morning practices that you do before 8 a.m. that can really radically change your life. I'll put a link in the blog notes to what the savers are. Maybe I'll do a podcast about it another time, but I loved this quote in the introduction, actually. While blame determines who's at fault for something, responsibility determines who is committed to improving things. Let me read that one more time. While blame determines who's at fault for something, responsibility determines who is committed to improving things. And a couple of years ago, I don't really have a time. I just know that 2 years ago at this time, one of my closest friends died. I had the biggest launch of my entire career of an online class. I did 4 trips on a plane, and I kind of have a rule. I did 4 trips in 2 months, and I have a personal rule for myself that supports myself as far as I only take 1 trip a month as for work. And I had done 4. A second friend ended up dying unexpectedly, and by December 2 years ago, I was in full blown out adrenal fatigue and sleeping 15 to 20 hours a day. Like, my body just quit working because I was just running Mach 10 with my hair on fire, and it simply wasn't good for me. So that couple of years ago, part of what was happening, part of my breakdown was also I ended up firing some clients and it was really messy. My parents were struggling financially. Sorry, Mom and Dad. I don't know if you listen to this. I don't mean to out you, but for a long time, I took so much responsibility for my parents' well-being as they age. I took responsibility for their house, for the selling of their house, for their estate. And none of this had ever been given to me. None of it had ever been given to me. And I realized that I created a lot of misery in my life by wanting something different for my parents than they wanted for themselves. They weren't miserable in the situation that they were in, but I was miserable because I wanted something different for them. Now, mind you, my parents are perfectly sane and perfectly capable of making their own adult decisions. And why should I or anybody else have a right to say what they should or shouldn't do? And I just remember having this conversation with my dad outside my house. I don't even remember the details of the conversation, but it smacked me like a ton of bricks. In my mind, I had been thinking for many, many years, my parents should live within their means. My parents should sell their house. My parents should, you know, make a certain amount of money. My parents shouldn't spend so much money. My parents shouldn't be delusional. And it smacked me right in the face that all these things I was projecting onto my parents, that I was blaming my parents, accusing my parents of, were actually the things that I needed to accept responsibility for in my own life. So those accusations became, I shouldn't live beyond my means. I should sell my house. I should make a certain amount of money. I should clean my house out of all the clutter. All these things, I began for the first time, at least around this issue, I began to create ownership. Oh, this is another one. I should quit being delusional, right? And so this is what's interesting. When we outsource, and I'm going to talk about different types of outsourcing, but when we outsource, we are actually avoiding taking responsibility. And so I'm going to talk about a couple of different kinds, 3 to 4 different kinds of outsourcing. So the first kind is outsourcing discomfort. This one is very common. We see it all the time in addictive behavior. So in addictive behavior, a lot of times, well, not even just addictive behavior, but we do things, we ingest things, we even think things so that we don't have to feel discomfort, right? So maybe to knock the edge off of a day of work, we kick back and throw back a glass of wine so that we don't have to feel it. When somebody is uncomfortable and crying, we are uncomfortable with their grief. And so we tell them, don't cry. We tell ourselves, don't cry, suck it up. Everything's, you know, we tell ourselves these things. So there are so many different ways that we outsource discomfort. And I had a big realization in these last 2 years. So smack dab in the last 2 years, there was a 9-month period in there where I went through a training program for expressive arts. And one of the things about painting truly intuitively and expressively without censorship or judgment is that everything comes to the surface. And the lesson I learned in allowing everything to come to the surface was that my heart was able to hold it all, that I no longer had to depress down thoughts, feelings, because I was believing a story that I couldn't handle it. I no longer had to unconsciously reach for wine or shopping. Shopping is one of my things, buying crap on Amazon so that I didn't feel the pain. I have learned that it's actually easier is not necessarily the right word because it's still difficult, but it does ultimately feel so much more satisfying to hold space for the discomfort, to look it in the face and say, there, discomfort, I see you. I won't leave you. I am here for you, right? So whether that discomfort is rage, whether that discomfort is grief, whether that discomfort is mild depression, whether that discomfort is feeling the need to be in agreement with somebody I love when we're not, wanting to feel sexy. I mean, this whole inventory of ways that I shove down within myself or I blame to somebody else. So outsourcing discomfort, we can be scrolling on Facebook to outsource discomfort. We can be binging on Netflix. We can be overeating, overdrinking, over shopping. We can be gambling. We can be over ignoring processing feelings. it makes me laugh because sometimes my husband says, Allison, you try so hard. Like, I love that you're into personal growth, but you try so hard. Well, for a long time, I tried hard to be positive and happy, but I realized I was doing that at the expense of actually feeling some of these things because I didn't have a value for the actual holding space for it all, right? I was outsourcing it, right? Whether I was outsourcing it to my subconscious, outsourcing it, essentially anything I did to not feel something. So I want you to pause for a minute and take a breath. I'm going to take a breath too. And just go within, not to your head, but to your heart, to your spirit, to whatever higher self you listen to. And just notice. There's nothing you have to do about it right now, but notice, is there a space or a place that you can become aware of where you have been outsourcing your discomfort, where you have been avoiding feeling because maybe you felt like you couldn't handle it. Maybe you didn't want to feel it. Just notice. There's nothing you need to do about it. But I realize I drink wine, and sometimes I am totally outsourcing. And other times I'm just enjoying a glass of wine. But it has been fascinating with the amount of wine that I now drink, which is not near as much as it used to be, that the more I hold space for and process my feelings, the less I overdrink, the less I overconsume, the less I no longer drink a bottle of wine a night. I no longer even drink every single day. And it wasn't some decision to drink less. It was simply actually a decision to hold space for everything that I was. So that's the first one, outsourcing discomfort. The second one is outsourcing responsibility. This one is fascinating to me. This is the one that Hal Elrod talks about. While blame determines who's at fault for something, responsibility determines who is committed to improving things. So this is the one I want you to check in with. When we are outsourcing responsibility, anytime we are blaming circumstances, people, situations, emotions, anytime we're using blame, we are outsourcing responsibility. I had a gal reach out to me around coaching the other day. It was a fascinating conversation. And she was wanting to talk about one-on-one coaching. And I let her know that right now I'm not doing any one-on-one coaching, that I'm starting this new group program, and that she was welcome to look into it and see if it was a fit for her. And if not, I might refer her to somebody who was doing one-on-one coaching. And when she wrote back, I just noticed, because right now I'm sensitive to it, I just noticed that she said, I'm in a group program now and it doesn't make me play big. And so I wrote back asking her, I said, let me ask you about your language there. The group program doesn't make me play big. The coach doesn't hold me accountable. She didn't say that, but I'm just thinking of so many different ways that class didn't give me what I needed. I remember I did a series of $10,000 coaching programs. I did three of the same program with a certain coach. And the first one was kick ass. I, on the outside, inside, everywhere, got so much, got exactly what I needed. The second one was amazing too. I think the first one had a bit of shiny new syndrome. And so it was all new information to me. And it just really impacted with me. I can actually remember moments on those calls. I can actually remember emails. I remember every person who's in it. The second one is a little fuzzier for me. And the third one I remember really well too. And I was sitting with my coach and a few of my other colleagues at a dinner table one night. And he turned and said, after I had finished the third program, he said, how did you find the third program? And I said, actually, I hated it. It frustrated me. It irritated me. It annoyed me. And he started to look shocked. And I said, and I got everything I needed and paid for in that program. And I realized that when I take part in something, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, but for the most part, I take responsibility for my own learning. I take responsibility for, you know, I could have looked at that program and said, oh, it was really lame. This is, the people in it were lame. The circumstances were lame, whatever. Well, they weren't real enjoyable. I had a lot of conflict, a lot of frustration, and a lot of disappointment, but I took responsibility for that and learned something for it, right? So just notice anywhere you're blaming. So what was interesting is I told this girl, I said, I can't really refer you to one of my colleagues. And if you were to work with me before we work together, I would actually ask you, first of all, what your definition of playing big is. And second of all, I would ask you to, you know, before we even discussed coaching, I would ask you to do 90 days or, you know, play some game where we did 60 or 90 days of, quote, playing big, whatever she thought that meant, before there was any program. You see, because no class, no program is ever going to solve it for you. I had a client yesterday. She's so fun. We're ending up a one-on-one agreement and she's going to be joining the group program that I'm offering. And she started to ask a question. And then she took it back. And the question she started to ask was, well, what about a kind of bit? And she started, and then she goes, never mind, I'll create it. And I just wanted to jump up and down because she was about to ask, what about accountability in the program? I have a belief about accountability that I've had for a long time in coaching. And I in the coaching world in general, life, business, et cetera, I always hear, I want an accountability coach. If you want or need an accountability coach, you are not accountable. You are outsourcing your power to the coach or to the program. And I'm telling you right now, anytime we put the power outside of ourselves, this program, this coach, this thing is going to make it better. We are setting ourselves up for serious disappointment. We're not taking ownership and we're leaking our power. And so I love when my clients say, I'm going to be accountable to myself. I know for me, I don't need somebody checking on me, checking off, did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? I'm doing that myself. It's my job to do. I'm a grown ass woman. I don't need someone to babysit me, and I certainly don't need a coach to babysit me. I think when we make decisions from that, then my question, my curiosity around it becomes, are we just making those decisions so that we don't disappoint our coach? And at the end of the day, I don't want to disappoint myself. I always say that accountability is me laying my head down on my pillow, knowing I've done well, knowing my bills are paid, knowing I've been present, knowing I've taken care of my body. That satisfaction to me is the ultimate accountability. And sure, I set up things where I talk with my coach and one of my coaches about things like this to support, you know, I create an environment of support. I have another client, she's the same way. She was like, I've had a really great 2 weeks while you were gone. And I just realized I've set up an environment of support. And I am being successful inside that environment. So do you see the distinction between putting blame or responsibility on a program or a coach or a class or a marriage or a baby? I mean, you can insert whatever you want. Anytime we think, a lot of times it's like, oh, when I double my business, I'll finally feel X. When I X, I'll feel good. Anything we put there, we are outsourcing that responsibility to. And when we do that, we absolutely leak our power. It's amazing when we own it. If it's something we want, we figure out to create it. I remember having conversations with both my ex-husband and my current husband. And I remember that at times my desire was misinterpreted. That my experience was that when I would talk about something I wanted, that they took it to mean that they weren't giving it. So let's say I wanted a boat, and I wanted a boat for a long time. I feel like sometimes my ex-husband, and I'm just making this up, but from our conversations, I gathered that if I wanted a boat or a different house, he felt like life was never enough for me. And inside, what I was thinking was, oh, I have this desire for a boat. In my mind, I'm thinking, how can I create this boat for myself? How can I create a life where I have access to a boat, or how can I create the funds to buy a boat? I never was putting the responsibility on my husband to provide a certain life. Here's another one. A lot of this for me came through learning the 4 steps that Byron Katie teaches in the work. And I remember saying, Bill should trust me. Bill should trust me. Bill should trust me. This was early on when I left Keller Williams and started working for myself. I was like, Bill should trust me. Because my husband, since the day he got a job, has had a paycheck on a certain day every single day of the month. And now he's retired and gets a pension check because he was in the teacher system. And he came from a military family that also received a check. Well, I didn't. I came from self-employment, willy-nilly money all over the place. And that was real difficult for both of us. He was used to having the security, and I was used to the crazy wild ride of up and down and borrowing Peter to pay Paul and the entrepreneurial freedom. And I remember for the first few months that I was out on my own, and Bill was scared. Scared, rightfully so. He was nervous about our financial stability. And I remember thinking to myself, Bill should trust me. Bill should trust me. And I turned it around and said, you know, I was outsourcing the need to be trusted to Bill. But I was able to get curious, and I turned that around to, I should trust me. What would be different if I trusted me? And instantly, a miraculous weight lifted off my chest, my shoulders, my lower back, because I realized, oh, when I was focusing all this responsibility to trust me on Bill, I wasn't focusing any attention and energy on the fact that I actually believed in myself. I had forgotten that I believed in myself. And a few days later, I spoke to Bill. We had just been married, had been living together for a couple of years, but just been married. And I said, darling, I know that this is really difficult for you, and I want to give you an out. I, as a human being, am choosing, needing, wanting to be self-employed. And I get how risky that feels. And if so, that's a deal breaker in our marriage. I will never judge you, criticize you, shame you, or even hate you. So I want to give you permission. If that's not okay with you, for me to give this a go, and it is a deal breaker, we can walk away from this marriage and just say, you know what, it just didn't work. And I'll be sad, but I would never blame you for it. And it was interesting when I took ownership and responsibility and I trusted myself and I gave my husband that gift and that presence, all of a sudden he became the biggest fan of my work, the biggest supporter. It was unreal. And so these are just some of the instances, this one with my parents and that one with Bill, these instances where for a long time I was really suffering because I was outsourcing, blaming something in my life and making somebody else responsible for it. And as soon as I took responsibility for it from the inside out, everything shifted and everything changed. A third place I want to talk about, I kind of have these two combined into one. So let me just riff on it and see what comes up. But the third place I want to talk about is outsourcing your self-acceptance, your desires, your self-love. So often, and this one has been me, right? Like the trust thing with Bill was like, I just needed him to not leave me. I kind of had this psychosis, this subconscious childhood stuff that I had been working on of I just felt abandoned and left. And then sure enough, my first husband showed up on a Wednesday and wanted to leave. And it was like a self-fulfilling prophecy. The one thing I didn't want was to be left. The one thing I didn't want was to be left. And for most of my life, I was so afraid of leaving. And I didn't realize that the only one who could ever truly leave me is me. That I shouldn't leave myself. And so this began, I mean, there were so many ways that I could take this phrase and insert different words. So I remember one of them was, Bill should think I'm sexy. Bill should think I'm sexy. And I was like, well, I should think I'm sexy. Why should Bill think I'm sexy if I don't think I'm sexy? And sure enough, the more I focus on me being sexy for me, hello, the more it turns on my husband. Bill should like me. My friends should like me, etc. This is where, let me see if I can get some language around this. The more I needed somebody to like me and accept me in the past, the more I modified my authentic self, right? So I outsourced, I gave away my authentic self in order to be liked, accepted, loved, etc. I made decisions that were out of alignment with my true self so that I'd be loved, so that I'd be cared for, so that I wouldn't be left. And yet, I was the one not loving, not accepting, and not caring for myself. I've already discussed how mindset and our thinking is one of the most powerful and amazing tools we can begin to practice and implement in our lives. And part of this, the extended journey of mindset, is noticing in our thinking, where are we outsourcing our discomfort to avoid feeling it? Where are we outsourcing the creation of our life, our happiness, our joy, our success? Where are we blaming? And I'm not just talking about blaming for fault, but where are we putting the responsibility instead of taking the responsibility? And where are we outsourcing our self-acceptance? And in our self-acceptance, where are we outsourcing or compromising our desires? Where are we willing to relinquish or modify our desires versus standing in them? And I know that this is really, it can be really challenging because mass media, I probably say this on every podcast and every live stream because it's so true. I just am ultimately aware and I don't want to blame it. I want to notice and then choose differently, right? So this is, it's like I notice that mass media. I notice that my Facebook stream tells me one thing. And when I am awake and responsible, I can see that influence and respond differently. You hear that? So the circumstance is what it is. The Facebook feed is there. The news is there. The mass consciousness, the marketing industry is there. The messages that are subliminally told to us are there. And I can either choose to be a victim of that, or when I am awake, I can notice and say, oh, influence, I see you. I choose a different way. I make the slight adjustment, not asking media to make the adjustment. And what's interesting is I think that when we make the personal adjustments within ourselves, when we own the responsibility, the media will follow. It's like this Aikido energy. And I don't mean to use that to manipulate, but it's so interesting how so often we are looking to something outside of us to give us what we need. And I would like today to encourage you to insource. Source within. Give yourself that which you desire, especially mentally and emotionally, maybe even physically. Give yourself that which you desire from a place of sovereignty, that you have dominion. You are the ruler, the queen, the king of yourself. You can be a benevolent sovereign and take back your power. You can choose to give yourself the love which you so desperately want. You can choose to give yourself the success that you desperately want. You can choose to give yourself the sex that you so desperately want. You can choose to allow yourself to have desires and give somebody else permission to disagree with your desire or your opinion. The other night, I was having dinner with my friend Varian. I've done a bonus episode with Varian Brandon, and she is one of my closest friends, and Varian and I have very different religious views. And for some reason, recently, spirituality and religion especially has been a really tender topic for me. Actually, in the last year, religion and politics have just really cut deep, and I've had a lot of learning and lessons because a lot of my own judgment and blame has come up. I've been outsourcing satisfaction, outsourcing things by blaming it on right-wingers or Trump voters or Christians. And when you have family members and best friends and people who fall in those same categories, it's a real mindfuck to resolve that in your mind. So it's been an amazing lesson. It's not been a problem, but it has cut tender places. And so Varian and I were having dinner, and Varian and I, from day one, we met for actually today, I think we got a Facebook message. We met through coaching programs, but today, 4 years ago, we became friends on Facebook. And for 4 years, we have acknowledged both our similarities and our differences. And so actually the religious faith that she comes from and the version of Christianity that she comes from and a lot of the things that she's been taught, I am extremely familiar with and practiced wholeheartedly until my mid-30s. And so I'm very versed in scripture. I'm not so practiced these days, but that was a part of my life that I lived wholly and completely and authentically at the time. And I love Varian so much. And as a Christian, she has been somebody. I sent her a text the other day. I sent her a couple of Bible verses that we were talking about over dinner. And one of them was just to tell her how much I appreciate her. It was a Bible verse about, and they will know your faith by your actions. Varian, to me, is the example of what I think Christians should be acting like. And part of that is because Varian always allows me to be me. And she allows us to have a different opinion. She does not outsource her validation to me. And she's been a big teacher for me in giving other people the right that they innately have to disagree. And so we were having dinner and having this conversation, and I'd had a couple glasses of wine. I was exhausted. We had been in Europe. There was jet lag and long days and a conference. And towards the end, for the first time in 4 years, I looked at her and I said, like, I could feel the part of me that does outsource. I could feel, instead of just quietly, gently, calmly standing in our differences and beliefs, I told her, I said, I just want to lay on the table. I don't need you to do anything with it, but I just want to acknowledge right now, I'm noticing a need for agreement. right? Like I was on the edge of outsourcing my need for agreement to her. And by just, she's so sweet because she just laughed and smiled. And, but by acknowledging, oh, I'm feeling this excruciating need for someone I love to believe the same as me, I was able to gently put it back in my own plate and say, Allison, all that matters is that you agree with you. You can love Varian and she can love you, even if you don't agree on these very deeply personal things. And it's been, I guess Spirit really wants me to learn this because it puts somebody in my life, quite a few people in my life that believe so differently. Spirit put bosses in my life that I just wanted that approval from. And as long as I sought that approval, I was constantly thirsty. And when I drank from my own well, from the well of the divine within, I found all the sustenance I ever needed. And so today I want to thank you for spending time with me. I would like to encourage you to spend a little bit of time in reflection. And when I mean reflection, I don't mean judging yourself. I don't mean speaking shitty to yourself. I don't mean blaming yourself, but begin to notice areas where you might be outsourcing and begin to source within for the answers of how to slightly shift for dramatic change. When you source from within, you give yourself back all your power, all the power that you've ever bled away, all the power that you've ever shed, all the power that you've ever projected, all the power that you've ever blamed or leaked out or wasted. You give that back to yourself when you source from the divine higher self within you. This, my friends, is what I desire for you, because I know that you'll end up living a better life and creating better work. So if you like what you hear in this podcast, I'd love for you to come check out my brand new Soulful Success School, my monthly live coaching and teaching community for better life and better business. You can find all the details at www.coachwithallison.com. And if it zings with you, I'd love to have you join. Thanks again for listening. Leaving a 5-star review on iTunes or your podcast player of choice. And thanks for sharing this podcast with a friend. I appreciate you, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.allisoncrow.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.allisoncrow.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.